Locating roads is not always a straightforward process, as Peter Cooper comments.
Road location is fundamentally an exercise in eliminating what you can't do. It's saying, here's what we can't do, here's what we don't want to do, here, for various reasons, and they could be environmental or social, or it could be mountainous country, it could be grades, it could be all sorts of things. It could be a lake there, it might be a nature reserve. Could be all sorts of things.
David Bennett of ARRB Transport Research recalls his work in the early 1970s with computer-assisted road location. Another consultant, Dr. Peter Gibbs from Quantum, describes applying a new optimisation package for road location.
One of the first applications that we made for DMR was to part of the Hume Highway between Goulburn and Yass, a very mountainous area, and it was used as a test because DMR had been looking at where they might put the Hume Highway through this very rugged country for quite some time. The existing highway actually followed through that country the route of the old Melbourne-Sydney Railway. And the Melbourne-Sydney Railway had been upgraded and it was now on a different alignment. And the road had actually utilised a lot of the alignment that the old railway had had. But, of course, that had been many, many years before and there were some very sharp curves and blind corners and a lot of no overtaking lengths within that. And so with the upgrading of the Hume Highway at that time, the 70s, we were starting to come to full freeway standards. So looking at the sorts of curvatures and grades that you'd get on a freeway. And to go through that sort of country meant that you were going to be having some pretty steep cuts and fills through the country. DMR had been working, I suppose, for about 9 months on looking at potential locations through this country. They'd taken a lot of aerial photography. They digitised a fair bit of that. What we did was to use that digital terrain model. I worked with a team of people from DMR, basically training them in the use of the program at the same time as actually applying it to this particular example. Essentially what you did was you said, I want to start from here, one point, I want to finish up at another point, which might be 10 kilometres away. Here's a very broad band of country in between that we could go through. Here are all your curvature constraints, your grade constraints. The railway line, of course, still went through here, albeit on a different route from its original one. And it was obviously going to be necessary to cross that railway line at least twice. And probably three times. It meant then that when you crossed the railway line on a freeway, you had to either go under it or over it by a sufficiently large distance. It's a freeway standard road, so no level crossings. So that was another thing that the program was able to handle. So actually, it took us, I suppose, about 2 weeks to work through and come up with the solutions that were generated by the program. Gratifyingly, though, were pretty much the same as the solutions that the engineers had come out with after their 9 months of examining it.
In 1992, I think, we got a job where the RTA was interested in investigating new technologies and what they could do for the organisation. And the RTA was looking at a combination of satellite data and this route optimization that I developed to try and locate roads. And the test data, the test work that was done, was based on looking at the bypass of Albury-Wodonga. The route left the existing Hume Freeway in Victoria and curved around to the west of Albury before rejoining the Hume Highway to the north. What we were doing was definitely experimental from the RTA's point of view. They felt that they were locked in to the existing route. They had two choices. to either follow the route that they had already planned outside the town or to follow a route inside Albury-Wodonga itself. Basically, they'd gone through the whole political process of getting acceptance from the residents of Albury-Wodonga and the surrounding areas as to what was acceptable. And having got that acceptance, they didn't feel that they could go back because that would have caused a huge uproar. What I was looking at was taking their start and finish points and seeing what we could achieve by optimising over that area, where it would put the routes, how much those routes would have cost in relation to the alignments that they came up with. One of the problems is no one wants a bypass to go through their property or to go through their close to their property. Going through their property is not so bad because they tend to get bought out, but if it goes through their property, close to their property, but doesn't actually touch them, you can be left with a major road close to your house. So it becomes a very sensitive issue. What we found was we managed to get a route which was about 30% cheaper than the original route based on the same set of construction costs. Our system takes a designation of a route defined by those intersection points and straight lines and the curves and costs it. Then it does shifts a point and costs it again. And in the course of a single optimization, it might cost $250,000 different alignments, whereas the conventional system, they try and fit the route to the landscape, then they may cost half a dozen. So that in the course of some of the large projects that we did later on, I think we worked out that the system probably costed over a billion different alignments while looking for the best low-cost alternatives. And that's just something that a conventional designer does not have time to do.